Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex. B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex, you are now entering the Megacast. The Megacast.
Well, if you're going to drink, I'm going to drink.
Have a sip of water, Steve.
I've got kombucha.
You do have kombucha.
Raspberry lemonade.
Ooh. Actually, that sounds pretty tasty.
It's really good, actually. My wife's got me into this whole kombucha crap. I think that's the name of the brand, kombucha crap. They should call it that, with a K. It's good, though.
To me, kombucha, is it kombucha? Kombucha?
I call it kombucha. Yo, ladies, you want some of my kombucha?
Kombucha to me is like, it's not alcoholic, but right. I notice people that are like into that kind of spiritual world or yoga or working out a lot, like they're not big drinkers, but they love some kombucha.
Dude, I mean, yeah, obsessed with it.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, whether it's crunching abs or crunching numbers, you do it better with kombucha.
Yeah. You ain't no punk, dude.
I ain't no punk ass bitch. I'm drinking kombucha.
Strawberry lemonade.
Well, of course. If you're going to do it, you got to do it hard.
Yeah. Plus, I like vinegar, so.
Oh, you do, huh?
Yeah, I do,
that
Steve.
Apple vinegar?
Yeah.
I have it all the time as well.
Yeah, you do.
And this is how we start the Megacast. It's good to see you, Ted.
I was like, we did do one last week, right?
I know. Yeah, we had this big debate trying to figure out whether or not we've done a podcast. It's like, it feels so long, but we just did one a week ago.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Good to see the Mega family listening, as always. I see all the tweets. People always commenting on stuff we're talking about, and I think it's awesome.
Man, I'll tell you what, there was a lot of the Mega family at Red Fest.
Really?
Yeah.
People
want Mega hugs. I told, you know, I give out hugs, but I said it's not official unless Steve's here for a Mega hug.
Right, it's just a guh hug.
Yeah. But I, you know, I don't mind at all.
There's no Mega hug without me.
Right. The hugging. I didn't realize, like, we're the hugging guys now.
Right.
Yeah.
We need to, like, get the Bailey, I'm a hugger t-shirts, you know, Bailey from NXT in the World of Wrestling, because that's her thing.
Yeah, and it's not, like, one random dude anymore. Like, I give out a lot of, like, real hugs to a lot of dudes.
And it's dudes. I mean, you get a couple chicks every once in a while, but it's bros that want mega hugs.
Oh, yeah.
These aren't bro hugs. These are like full-on embraces.
Yeah. Oh, I give them the goods, Steve. You know I don't. You know, half-stepping.
I'm proud of you, Ted.
Yeah.
How was our Red Fest? I was hoping I could go, but I was not able to make it.
Red Fest was awesome, man.
Yeah.
Like, the stage was on the other side, and
last year?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was on the other side, kind of underneath that ramp.
Oh,
and
cool.
Then they took out, like, the beer, like, serving stations in the middle, so it was just one big wide-open thing. It just, I don't know, it just seemed much more big time and this and that, and it was packed. It was a really great time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And yeah, you got
awesome.
A little color.
Oh, yeah. And I put on sunscreen, like, 3 or 4 times.
Dude, everyone at the station is, like, still, I think, recovering from a Red Fest hangover. Like, everybody was hurting after that.
Yeah, it was pretty intense.
That's awesome.
Plus, it's like, Red Fest hit on, like, I don't know. Summer's been nice, but Saturday night, I was just like, God damn, it's so nice out.
Yeah.
The sun's going to be out forever. I'm going to stay out.
It's going to be out forever, the whole summer.
Yeah.
It's like Alaska. We will see no darkness.
Exactly.
Why don't we do our push-ups? Let's get everything out of the way. Because we got a lot of things I was hoping we could touch on.
Yeah, and I showed up late.
And that's okay. That happens. All right, so let's get our 10. It's our chance to get everybody to get their brain right, to get focused on the Megacast, to get your heart racing, your brain. I mean, I need it more than anyone.
Yeah,
I think.
Steve. What are you, all right. I mean, I know it's brain functioning. Like, it seemed like you kind of circled around. I was like, all right, he's going to save this.
I've got it.
He got it.
And every time I used to have it written down on a sheet because I keep effing it up. And I'm like, I don't need that sheet. To get your heart racing, your blood pumping, and your brain
functioning.
And this time around, guess what, Ted? We got a different song.
Do we?
Kinda. I found it's online.
Who is it?
They don't even have a band name. It's just these two dudes that wrote a metal version of All I Do Is Win.
Yeah. All right, I'm in.
All right, let's get 10, Mega Family.
Track. So spin my foolish flow. My hands go up and down. Like
Troopers, we need to go!
My verse is coming! That's pretty intense.
It's super intense.
Let's climb on the cut!
Damn.
I don't know if I just want to, like, I kind of just want to punch you in the face, Ted.
Hit this, Steve! Hit this! The entrance song for Disciples of Fun.
Oh my God, yes. Like, we are going to kill any tag team if we come out to this song.
Yes.
I'm jacked.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Unfreaking believable.
And I'm excited.
Ted Talks, starring B-Tech Smith.
Well, this won't be shocking. This TED talks about staying active. Now, when I say stay active, you know, obviously, you know, if you're a runner or a yoga person, I don't know, you're a lifter. Like, obviously, stay active that way. But also, I want you to stay active socially as well, too. Mm-hmm. You know, don't just digest media and go, well, I'm against this or I'm for that. Like, dive a little deeper. Read into it. See what, you know, see what's going on in Congress. See what the president's talking about. See what the candidates are talking about. You know, dive a little deeper in there and stay active in that stuff, because it's important stuff, and a lot of times they want us to not know all the facts or not know the truths or just not have the information. So, you know, stay active.
Are you bringing this up because you just got to rub shoulders with the president of the United States of America?
Well, yes, Steve, I am.
I saw the picture.
With the paper cut out?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
So did you actually, were you at an event where the president was there?
I was.
Okay, you didn't just get dressed up wearing a nice suit and went to some random place where the cardboard cutout.
No, but they have like cardboard cutouts kind of around the room.
Is that their way of being like, look, we know you guys dropped a lot of coin. You're not going to meet the president, but here.
Well, here's the deal. When you got in there at first, there was like one big photo booth, and then I was like, that was like all done up like the president, but it was still just a cardboard cutout of
him. Wouldn't that have been funny if he was like sitting at a table, like when you go like to like a Comic-Con?
Oh, yeah.
And it's just the president?
You know, they should do that.
That'd be awesome.
Him, like Clinton, the Bushes.
Right.
Right? They should just have like President Con.
Yeah.
Prez-Con.
Prezi-Con.
Right? And like, holy shit. Holy crap, there's Secretary of State. Sorry, dude. Right.
I get it. The president brings out the brutality.
Right? But I mean, can you imagine that? Like, dude, PrezCon this year was so sick. I met the aide to Senator Kennedy.
Dude, I met Anita Hill, and I only had to pay $40 to get a picture. For an extra $60, I was allowed to put a pube on her Coke can.
Right. I own the guy that owns the ranch where Justice Scalia died. Like, man, that's into it.
Dude, real quick, before I want to ask, I have a lot of questions to ask you about that, but did you see there was a story, speaking of ranch, and that's the only reason, that livestock auctioneers are some of like the craziest, fastest speaking people that you'll ever like see do an auction, right?
Yeah. You know Mike Hawk's an auctioneer.
I did not know that.
Yeah. That's like, what his dad does. That's what he does. It's still a couple days a week.
I was going to say, he probably could make they make good money.
Yeah.
The auctioneers, especially if you get like in cahoots with some good ones. But the livestock ones are insane.
Yeah.
And there's somebody decided to grab the auctioneers.
Yeah. And put it.
Put it to hip hop beats.
Yeah.
Have you listened to this?
I was listening to it yesterday. It's pretty awesome.
Oh my gosh. I was rolling this morning. Here's a couple of examples of it. And that's not like...
All right, do you want to hear what Mike Hawk... So me and Miles were listening to that, and we were like, did you see this? And one of the coolest things he's ever said, he looks at us and he goes, well, you know what they say, fellas, it's all about the rhythm. I was like, damn, Mike. Right there on the beat.
I would listen to that song.
Yeah.
Here's one more. My favorite is one of the guys who just looks like he's straight out of the farm. Like, he's just like a guy that probably wears his Wranglers. You know, he's got a sweet Stetson
probably
cap.
Wears Spurs.
Yeah, absolutely. But he's trying to wear a suit that clearly does not fit him properly.
Oh.
And it's just like, it's awesome.
Is it shifted every time he moves?
It's super baggy. It's like, just like, okay, maybe he was a little bit heavier when he first got the suit. And he's like, why am I going to get a new suit when I get to see this suit and put it on and just maybe take a couple of safety pins on it and I'm all fine.
That's awesome.
Talk about talking fast. I have a million things I want to play audio-wise. I want you to listen to this, Ted. This isn't an auctioneer. This is Dwayne Wade. You know Dwayne Wade.
Sure.
Dwayne Wade is
the guy that hates Canada.
Yes, he hates Canada and he plays basketball.
Yeah.
And he just was on Snapchat telling a story about a time. You know what? I'm not even going to tell you what the story is about. I want you to listen to this and see if you could decipher what the hell he's talking about. With Snapchat, you only have about 8 seconds to record a video. So a lot of people record multiple videos.
All right.
He did that, but I think he was trying to fit as many words in that 8 second window as humanly possible. He sounds like one of those livestock auctioneers. So here's Dwayne Wade, and I want you to tell me what the hell he's talking about.
Heard him say, if you get going by a bird, it's good luck. I'm gonna make this fast. So I was broke growing up, went to college, got a scholarship because I was good at basketball. I guess I had to sit out that year because I ain't passed my ACT. And so not a lot of things going well for me. Next year we was going to practice, got going right on top of my head. Bow had a ball head at the time. Disgusting. I had to keep walking to practice. My teammates was laughing at me. Long story short, I had a very good year. My team was ranked within the first week of the season, and we went to the NCAA tournament. So it was a very good year. Things started turning around for me. On my head, don't sound too bad. So this is my second year playing now. Walking to class one day. Going right on top of my head. I had a head on that time. Thank you. I'm just saving me, but my t-shirt was all messed up, so I had to go back to change. But I got on my second year of school. So I ended up being All American that year. We ended up going to the Final Four. I ended up being in the draft that year, and I ended up getting drafted number 5. On me. Please.
Well, it seems pretty simple, Steve.
Yes, Ted.
He had always heard that it was good luck if a bird S's on your head. So he had a poor grade on his ACT, so something I can't remember that far back. But he had a poor grade on the SAT, ACT. Then he goes to college. It's his freshman year at Marquette, if I remember correctly.
Wow, you know more than he's even sharing.
A bird poops on his head. He ends up having a very good year. He has a bald head, so he felt it the first time. The second year, his sophomore year, bird poops on his head again, but he had a hat on. That was the year Marquette went to the Final Four. Oh. Then he gets drafted after that.
Crazy me. I did not think that it was that easy. But look at Ted nailing it.
Really?
You pretty much got it.
Yeah.
Basically, he's saying, get pooped on the head. It's good luck.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a bird poop on your head?
I have.
I've had a bird poop on my shoulder. I've always heard stepping in dog poop is good luck, but I guess bird pooping on you is good luck too?
I don't know. People say that, but I feel like that's just a nice thing people say because a bird pooped on you.
Yeah,
dude, the best one is, you know, like when you were a kid, right? I'm sure you guys went to the shore or whatever.
Yeah.
Like in the summertime. So in Ocean City, Maryland, on the boardwalk, right? There's this place called Thrasher's Fries. And I've talked about four of them.
I've heard the name Thrasher's.
Right. So it's like world famous. But basically, it's like any hand-cut fry. They're much more common now. But when I was a kid, you know, you had McDonald's and something else. But so the hand-cut fry on the boardwalk, keep in mind, it's 100 degrees, 100% humidity. But you get buckets, and I mean buckets of these Thrasher's, and then you dump vinegar and salt on them. So my dad, 1 year, he is so hyped, right? He's got his bucket of Thrasher's or whatever.
Oh, no.
And that seagull crapped right on his french fries, on his head.
What did he do? Did he eat them?
No, you know, I mean, he kind of lost it. He was pissed. Old Effort wasn't having it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Would you? Part of me thinks I might eat around it.
You know, have you physically been pooped on by a bird, though?
On the shoulder, that's it.
All right, so I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. When it hits you, you're just like,
I guess it depends on how hungry I am.
Dude, one time in Disney World, I was in the Animal Kingdom, ironically, and I was reaching, there was like a tub, right, of ice water and stuff.
Right.
So I'm paying for the ice water, and as I stretched out my arm, a bird hit my forearm.
Oh.
I know. And the guy was just like, sorry about that. I was like, is this part of the park experience?
Is this part of just because I didn't use the fast pass? Is this why he's crapping on me?
Did I just get charged extra?
Or is this like a stamp? You know, when you go to a club, if you want to get re-entry, you got to show your bird dong.
Yeah, I paid for my water. Yeah. Here's the bird poop to prove it.
Yeah, see? Got it. I'm in. If I'm a bird, I'd be crapping on people left and right.
Well, right. I mean, that's what birds do. They crap in the air.
And get creative with it. I'd definitely be off. Me and my bird homies, you would be a part of it, of course.
Dope.
You'd be my number one guy.
Flap gang?
Yeah, part of that flap gang. We're spreading our wings all over Washington. I would definitely like focus in on people that are in like convertibles and try and hit them like as they're on the freeway. Like that would be our game.
That's why I think Old Effort was such a prime target. Bald head shining, fancy new order of fries. Plus those seagulls, man, they knew he'd get pissed and react. And some of the fries would fall on the ground later to be eaten by same seagulls.
They don't care. It's the circle of life. They'll eat their own poop fries.
I mean, they're causing havoc so that they can benefit.
I never even thought about that.
Oh, it goes deep, Steve.
Clearly does. You know what, Ted? I do want to talk a little bit about your experience.
So deep.
Meeting the president. I want to get deep with you and the president at PrezCon.
PrezCon.
But why don't we take a quick break? When we get back, I have so many questions about how you even ended up there. So the Megacast will return with PrezCon.
PrezCon?
Yep.
These guys have a future. And that future is to return after this quick break. The Megacast will be back.
You don't know a thing about it. I was lost to dawn from dusk. And they don't care.
Congratulations, Instagram.
Selfies.
Now with more than 500 million users worldwide.
Cat fails.
Instagram is a fun and quirky way to share your life with friends.
Boobies.
Snap a photo with your mobile phone.
Yoga pants.
Then choose a filter to transform the image.
Duck face.
Into a memory to keep around forever.
Twerk that booty.
With Instagram, you can experience moments in your friends' lives.
Clickbait.
Through pictures and videos.
Puppies.
As they happen.
Boy shorts.
Instagram.
Food porn.
Download it and start posting today.
Ted and Steve will make it last forever, especially when on Molly. Haha.
Wow.
The Megacast is back.
What's going on here?
You know that, Grace. Summertime, she likes to do her raves. There's in that little commercial we had about Instagram, you can hear like a little voice underneath go, food porn. What's your take on the term food porn?
I go back and forth.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of it until years ago, like the physical copy of Vice magazine. My buddy used to get them, and I was like, what is this? And I remember it was like food porn, and I was like, that seems stupid. But honestly, now I search the hashtag, especially when I'm eating well. I'll look at it during the week.
I just don't know if I want food to be associated with porn. Like,
well,
I get why it's called that. And I never used to bother me, but the other day I was like watching something like food porn. And I'm like, man, I don't know. Connecting sex with food?
I think it's just more of a general term, though, of porn being excess and
sure.
and viceful.
Yeah. I totally get the meaning. It's just, I don't know.
I'll stop using it, Steve.
I just don't want to have sex with a tomato this week. Sorry.
Not a tomato.
Right.
Maybe if you were going to have sex
fries?
With a food,
yeah.
What would it be?
Oh.
Would it be a food you like to eat or a food you hate?
Ooh. That's a good question.
Or just based on feel of
well,
the food.
If I'm going to have sex with a food that I hate, I'm banging tempeh. I'm banging the holy hell out of tempeh.
That stuff was gross.
I mean, I want to just hate bang tempeh.
Yeah.
My wife just brought home, came from the grocery store, and we're unloading all the groceries out of the bags, and I see tempeh. I'm like, why'd you get this?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I know you don't like it. She's like, I think you just had it done wrong. I'm like, every time I've had it, it tastes like just whatever flavor on cardboard. I do not want to eat this crap.
There was no better shot than the teriyaki tempeh we had.
Right. You put teriyaki sauce on anything. I mean, on pigeon poop, I probably would enjoy it.
Yeah.
That tempeh sucked.
Yeah. Man.
Mm.
I would have been pissed too. What is this?
What is this crap you bring into our home?
I like the... That's such a Seattle thing. Tempeh is what sets you off like a 1950s like drunk husband. Woman, what is this?
To the moon, Sydney. To the moon. You take this tempeh and you throw it outside. I'm not living in a house that has tempeh in it. It's bad enough that we have glassy babies now. The hell did I marry?
You know, next thing you'll be cooking your tempeh over open-fired glassy babies.
Right. Ted, where was this president rendezvous that you had?
I went to the one, it was a very, it was a big dinner over at the Washington Convention Center.
Ice. So, yeah, because for those that don't know, and I'm sure you do because you probably got stuck in traffic on Friday.
Yeah.
The president came to town to visit Ted.
Yep.
To go to Red Fest. And then catch a Sounders match.
Yeah. All right. He was doing one at the convention center. Then he was doing like a super private thing over in Medina.
Right.
Which is like where Bill Gates and all those people live.
What do we have to do to get invited to one of those? Because I feel, I don't know about you. I picture that like being like a campfire thing. Like they're all hanging out around a fire and the president's cooking s'mores.
Dude, the thing is like, no matter how popular we get, I don't know that we'll ever have the fundage to go to the private ones.
No, I don't think we would. But maybe like someone could float us in as like a plus one.
I mean, like, in all honesty,
I guess.
Like, there's levels of, like, tickets you can buy to the one I went to. I got the cheapest one, and that was $250.
Damn.
Yeah. And
what
I heard,
do you get for $250?
You get dinner, and you get to watch people speak.
Wow, way to sell it, Ty.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you there was more. I mean, that was it.
Dude, what kind of food did you get?
Well, I tell everybody.
Oh, boy.
It's a fancy dinner in Seattle. Take one guess what we. As soon as it showed up, I went, of course, this is what we're eating.
Is it kale?
Salmon.
Salmon. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it at least a decent sized piece?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't bad.
Was it Copper River? It should be at least Copper River for $250.
It wasn't bad. I'm just like,
it wasn't Copper River.
As soon as it showed up, I just went, of course we're having salmon.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why. I don't know why in the frickin' world I thought we would have had anything but goddamn salmon. What was I thinking?
Did you get a drink, too? Did they give you...
Well, you don't get vouchers. You got to pay for the drinks. But yeah, there's bars.
What about even like a Diet Coke? Did they give you a free...
There was water on the table.
Oh,
it was
nice
water in glass bottles.
Dinner rolls? Butter?
Well, yeah, you get that stuff. You know what? Probably the highlight was there was a fancy dessert that was on the table the whole time. Which, as soon as I ate my salad, I went, oh, is this part of like the appetizer? And they're like, no, that's your dessert.
Why would you have the dessert already on the table?
Dude, I don't know, man, but it was delicious.
This president, man, I don't think he planned this out very well.
You know what? I'm going to blame this all on the governor.
Yeah. Inslee, you're on notice.
You're on notice. Dude, I love that guy brought on notice back.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
No, but it was really cool, man. You go in there, and then, like, there's bars, like, on the side. So, if you ever get the opportunity to go, Patrick Palace.
Yeah.
We know him from the station stuff.
Hell yeah.
He's done it a couple times. He had a table, so he was like, hey, I have a spot left. If you would like to go, you can get in. And I was like, cool. He just likes, as he told me, I go, how did you put this group together? And he goes, I just like to have an interesting table of people there.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was pretty cool. And then my buddy Joe, the mayor, he was also there at a different table.
Oh, I thought you went with Joe.
No. He just happened to be going.
Nice.
But he gave me the greatest tip ever, which was when you go get drinks.
Don't eat the dessert before your dinner?
Well, that too. But you can buy a bottle of wine and just have it on your table so you don't have to.
Some bottle service at PrezCon.
Yeah. So my table, I tell everybody this advice. We got like four or five bottles of wine at our table, right?
Yeah, because I've learned one thing in life is that lawyers like to drink.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So then after, right before the governor and president come out, they do some security stuff and there's like an intermission. So Joe comes over and he's like, because he wants to meet Pat Palace and Patrick, and he's like, hey, man, like, can I have some of your wine? We're all out of wine at my table. And I was like, well, sure. I go, but this was your advice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's smart. He told you to do it and knew that he could just kind of zone in on you like a pigeon going towards your dad with French fries.
Jesus, you're right, Steve.
He's as smart as a pigeon, that Joe.
Mm.
That's why he's the mayor.
You're right, man.
Yeah, I know what's up.
Yeah, but it was pretty cool. And then afterwards, we went out. And I had another drink and some appetizers with the city councilwoman from Bellevue.
Nice.
Yeah.
What was it like to be in a room with the president of the United States of America?
It's such a different feeling.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. Like, you just kind of, you get fired up, man. And he's super charismatic. And I know there's some people who are Republicans and don't like him and this and that. But
look, Republican or Democrat, if I have a chance to meet or be in a room with a former president or a current president, despite what my political beliefs are, I would take that in a heartbeat.
Right. So that's exactly where I was at. And he was just funny. He was kind of riffing. He was giving the governor a hard time. We say, played some hoops. This game's not so good, but his elbows are. Just like, damn.
Very random.
Right. Just like basically like Jay Inslee's terrible at basketball, but he fouls a lot.
Yeah, but he's a little aggressive out there. The only thing I could like, and it's not obviously as close to being in the presence of a president, but when I got to go to see David Letterman the first time.
All right.
there was something so surreal about being in a room with a guy. I mean, because I idolized Letterman growing up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was like, listen to Howard Stern, watch David Letterman. I would say those were like the two biggest comedic influences I had in my life. There was others, obviously, a part of that. You know, you got, you know, the Eddie Murphys of the world, and even Andrew Dice Clay when I was a kid, and any comic that was on the A&E Showtime at the, or whatever, A&E's Evening at the Improv, you know, any of those comics.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Showtime at the Apollo.
Showtime Apollo, too. I used to watch that. Yeah, absolutely. But, so growing up and idolizing that guy, then I'm sitting maybe 12 rows back, and the minute he walks out, it was just like, it was beyond goosebumps. It was like,
yeah.
It was just like, I was in awe, because I'm like, this is the guy, the legend. I mean, it's like Johnny Carson for people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
I would have to imagine Letterman would say, they run that thing so smooth.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was telling like our boss. I go, the production level would have blown you away. You know, and he's like, well, yeah, it's the president. I go, I get that it's the president, but still. Till you see it in action, you know what I mean? Like the mayor of Yakima speaks, boom, vignette. And then like the other people.
No way.
Yeah, and like as soon as the vignettes end, somebody else is on stage going, okay, this or that. Like it was super cool, man. And it's just different. You're in the room with the president. It's like, damn.
Does he eat while you guys are there?
No. He literally shows up, gives his speech.
I don't know why I'm picturing this like a wedding. Like, does he go table to table and just say hi, thanks for coming to my shindig?
No, he literally goes up, does his talk. And then just walks off, and they're gone.
And then he's off to Dreamgirls.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be funny if that was the case?
Dreamgirls down on the stadium?
Or Little Darlings.
I like that he's going to Dreamgirls. It's like, on the way in, I went to a Mariners game, found this free pass.
Yeah. I noticed you guys have a two-story tall stripper pole. Right? How much for VIP?
I was throwing nuts, peanuts on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Across the street at Hooverville.
Strong drinks.
No, it was
a
super
time
cool
for two for one.
Super cool experience, and I was pumped.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I was pumped for you, and I saw that. I was like, wow, that's so cool.
Yeah,
I think about one time, dude. I don't have many regrets of missed opportunities. I mean, you have some in your life, but I remember one time when I was working at K-Rock before it became Jack, the CBS station, and. The president, Clinton, he was no longer the president, but he was doing a book signing tour. And we were trying to get him on the show, and it almost happened, but then it fell apart. But the person who was working the president's tour to that bookstore said, hey, if you want, you can come down and take pictures.
All right.
And they said, you won't be able to meet the president, but, you know, you can take pictures. I'm like, and I started thinking about it, and I'm like, gosh, that's a long day at work, and it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And
yep.
I was like, you know what, nah. And I told our guy that does pictures for the station and for the show back then, this guy, Rick. And I'm like, hey, man, I could get you in to take pictures if you want. That'd be cool for the website. And he's like, yeah, I'll do it. Sure as S. The next day he goes, dude, you won't believe it. Check it out. Like, pictures upon pictures of him with the president, arm around Clinton, shaking hands, cheesing it up. I mean, I'm like, wait, they said that you wouldn't be able to get pictures. Like, yeah, well, once he showed up, he came early, and they said, hey, everybody who's here for media taking pictures, let's just do a quick meet and greet, and you guys can get. I was like, oh, I was so pissed.
Yeah.
Because I was like, again, whatever, and I like Clinton, but even if I didn't, the opportunity to meet a guy who ran our country would be freaking amazing.
Yeah. I mean, look, at PressCon, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't the biggest W fan, but I still want to go get his autograph and meet him.
W would be number one on my list of guys I'd want. I know that he probably doesn't drink anymore. He's had some issues in his life.
He's hands down the guy you want to go have a beer with.
Right.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Okay, of all the living presidents, what would be it? So I would say Bush for sure, number one.
W's the guy, like, if you were going to go out and actually, like, drink beers, right,
yeah.
W's probably who I'd go with first.
And then second, I feel like I'd want older Bush and Clinton together. I think those two are a hoot because they're friends.
Like I think,
I'd be the third wheel with those three. Those two.
I really want to meet Carter, but I feel like he'd be a little more serious.
Yeah,
and he wouldn't have a beer.
He'd go to Hooverville though. He likes peanuts.
That's a good point, Steve.
Maybe after a couple too many peanuts, you could drag him on over to the Dreamgirls.
Maybe me and President Carter smoke some weed.
Then what? Who's left? Barack. Is that it?
I do think Bush, the original Bush, would be my last to get a beer with.
Oh,
seems stiff.
He needs to be with Clinton. Otherwise, I don't want to have him be a part of my posse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's a package deal. So I would go, if it's only one, it would be Bush, Clinton, Obama, Carter, Bush.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Obama would be fun to chop it up with too, just about sports.
Yeah, yeah. Because
he talks about it all the time.
Absolutely. That would be one that you'd want to go like to a sports bar and watch some games.
Yeah, but W just seems like, after like beer two, be like, all right, I got a joke for you. Like, oh, give it to me, George.
Hey, speaking of sports, we mentioned this while we were in our break, and I thought it'd be worth talking about. We were talking about LeBron James, and you brought up an interesting fact or point.
It just always seems odd to me, and he is the best player in the league. Well, he's proven that with the championship, but he's always talking about greatness, and I liked his Instagram posts. Like, hey, I put this team together. I can do it, this and that. And I'm all for the worker.
Yeah.
But it still seems odd to me that he wears Jordan's number.
I think it's also odd because he made it a point to not wear his number and said, and he had valid reasons why, that nobody should be wearing Michael Jordan's number.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, when he goes back to Cleveland, he decides, you know what, I'm going to go back to Jordan's number.
Right, because I had to look it up. I was like, wait a minute. Cause, you know, because like,
wasn't he six for?
He was six in Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, I don't know. That just seems, it seems odd to me. Like we were saying, there's certain numbers in certain sports. 23 is Jordan.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think any basketball player in at all should be wearing that number.
Right, and then you were saying Gretzky, 99, maybe Lemieux was 66, too.
Yeah, I put both. In hockey, I don't think those, and I haven't seen anyone ever wear those two numbers. I even see it, like, even in pickup hockey, rec hockey, if someone's wearing a number 99, that person just gets destroyed.
Like, yeah, they're just going to mess
Gretzky.
With them.
Hey, Gretzky! Pass over here, Gretzky. You know, it's like you're now forever known as Gretzky.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's not a compliment.
No, not at all.
So what do you think, like, baseball?
I think we agree 42 for Jackie Robinson.
You gotta, yeah. Isn't it already?
That is retired. And then I'm trying to think. Like, I guess, I mean, you know Yankee stuff. I mean, 6 or 7 maybe, right, for DiMaggio or Mantle?
And that's a tough one. I agree. But it's such, there's such vitriol towards the Yankees that people probably wouldn't want that to be that way out of spite.
But I'm just thinking now, do you see it that often anymore?
Well, I mean, I'm not really that big of a baseball guy anymore.
I'm either.
I mean, the last number 6 I could think of off the top of my head is Steve Garvey.
Yeah, somebody's going to be like, you guys are idiots. Like,
oh,
here's the Mariners that wear 6 and 7. Yeah.
Do you think it's weird seeing a pitcher wear a single-digit number? I just saw that the other day. And I read this, and someone brought it up, and one of the announcers, and said, I think there's only 2 or 3 players in the whole, in all of baseball, that are pitchers that wear single-digit numbers.
No kidding.
And I was like, yeah, it does look kind of weird, just because you're conditioned to see it a certain way.
I still think one of the stranger one is when you see like a fullback, or like a middle linebacker, like a big old dude just wearing that single number.
I agree. Like, yeah. Even seeing Cam Newton wear number 1 looks weird.
Yeah.
Or a kicker wear the double digit.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Right.
Get it together.
Football. Is there a number?
I don't know. Maybe 32 for Jim Brown?
That'd be a good one, yeah.
But you're right. I'm trying to think. Like
99 for Mark Gastineau, clearly.
Yeah. Like, I think every organization has numbers that you wouldn't want to wear. Like, I don't know. I don't think anybody's going to run out and be like, give me 24 for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. NFL doesn't seem to have like that one number that's like throughout the
league. No, I think it's team by team. I still think it's kind of weird even seeing, and I know like it ended not very well. I think it's weird seeing a Seahawk wear 37.
Oh, because of Sean.
Yeah. I mean, say what you will about the guy. He still was the league MVP. He was part of the team that went to the Super Bowl. I mean, before this new era of Seahawks, I mean, how do you not show him? And same with number 8. I'd feel weird seeing anyone wear number 8 for the Seahawks. I think those two numbers should eventually be retired.
You know, sometimes I forget about the couple down years.
Yeah.
Because since I've been here, the Seahawks have always been pretty good.
Yeah, they've been dominant in the NFC West, except for that Jim Mora season.
Yeah, that's why I always forget about it. And you're right, I forget there is that gap between. To me, it just seemed like it moved pretty seamlessly. And then it's like, oh, yeah, there was that gap between those Seahawks and the current group.
There was like the Hasselbeck falling apart, then switching to DeVaris Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the Jim Ward thing was just a debacle. And then Pete Carroll just came around. I mean, even 7-9, he brought them to the playoffs. And ever since then, it's been just awesome.
I love Jim Mora Jr. I still think that was a raw deal.
Yeah, I don't think it. I mean, that's a whole other argument. But yeah. I didn't think he really made sense for the Seahawks. It didn't seem like it was working.
And no.
He wasn't given an opportunity, but it was just
The whole thing just sucked.
Well, and also just the way that, like, they basically kind of forced Holmgren out because they didn't want to lose Mora, and then they give Mora the head coaching spot, and it doesn't go well. It was just like, there were so many weird things.
You bring up Holmgren. We were talking about the president or Letterman. Meeting Holmgren.
You've met Holmgren?
Yeah, he was on the 206, which is now up at the same time I was. Same thing. That guy has a presence where you're just like, holy cow. And it's like, as soon as I talked to him, I reverted back to like a high school kid.
Yeah.
Like, yes, sir. No, sir.
I mean, he's larger than life.
Right. I mean, he's the coach.
You know, when I didn't talk to him, but when James Hetfield walked by me backstage at Summer Sanitarium over at what was called Quest Field, now CenturyLink Field.
Yeah.
That was weird. Like, it was just like, oh my goodness gracious, it's James freaking Hetfield.
Yeah.
Like, I have nothing to say other than you are amazing.
Oh, and the two ridiculous, like, porn star hot girls in Whole Foods last night. They got me, too. I completely panicked. I had nothing. It's like,
dude, when's Whole Foods going to put out a calendar? The girls of Whole Foods.
Steve, I'm telling you, there's hot chicks. These girls were next level, and I'm pretty sure they were speaking Russian. One girl was wearing, like, not like she actually had just worked out, but she was just wearing a white tank top, knee-high white socks, and, like, little workout shorts. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
That sounds like torture.
I'm telling you, we completely screwed up my order.
Let's take a quick break.
All right, sorry. When we they come were that back, hot.
I want to talk to you about a tweet that you put out.
All right. Oh. Yeah. Oh. All right.
All right. So when the MegaCast returns, we're tweeting with Ted.
Tweeting with Ted.
Nothing is going to save you from Ted and Steve. The MegaCast will be back.
Now that the season 6 finale of Game of Thrones is history, it'll be almost a year before another new episode. But don't worry. New on ABC, it's the perfect combination of classic game show fun from the 70s and everybody's favorite hit HBO show filled with violence and nudity. Introducing Match Game of Thrones, starring Alec Baldwin as the host and featuring Brett Summers and Charles Nelson Reilly, along with 6 celebrity panelists whose careers are about as dead as a Game of Thrones character.
Charles, dumb Daenerys is so dumb. She brought a blank to a sword fight.
Well, it's not the kind of sword fight I'm used to.
When you watch Match Game of Thrones, the only thing dragon will be the 30 minutes that you'll have to sit through this garbage.
Brent, Lord Varys said, my wenches will have to service me in my chamber because I can't get my blank through the door.
I said my carton of Pall Malls.
Don't miss Match Game of Thrones. You'll ask yourself, how did they come up with this blank?
Why are you always hating? Hating is for shitheads. The MegaCast is back.
Please, please tell me why you always hate.
I have to agree. Hating is for S heads.
It is. I also have to be honest. At this point, I looked at my clock and I was like, I can't tell time. For some reason, I kept doing, man, if we do 3 15-minute segments, that's going to be 90 minutes.
I know. I remember before we started, Ted goes to me and goes, hey, man, we really got to make these quicker breaks because I have to be done by 12:45. And I'm looking at the clock and I'm like, it's not even 11:30. I'm like, yeah, man, sure. We got this. But in my head, I'm like, did I miss something? Are we now doing 4 15-minute breaks? Or?
In my head, I'm going, he's so confident about it.
Yeah, because I'm like, we got an hour and 15 minutes to bang out an hour's worth of content.
Right? So I just looked at my clock and I go,
you still got all the time in the world.
I go, what was I freaking out? And I go, right.
I don't know.
I don't know why I thought those 3 segments equaled 90 minutes. We've never even done an hour, much less a 90 minute.
No, we hover around 55 minutes on average. Sometimes we get a little crazy and it hits like an hour, 1 minute. And I'm like, okay, Ted, yeah, we'll get it done, man. We'll get you out of here by 12:45. No problem.
My bad, dude.
No, it's all good. It's always good to make sure that we're on point.
it just dawned on me. Like, I'm an idiot.
Dude, before we get to all the other stuff,
all right.
You brought up the QFC girls, and we were talking, while we went to break, we were still talking more and more about it. Do you find yourself, I'll use this as an example. Do you remember Rock Girl, and I've talked about this on the BJ and Make show before, and every time I see the picture of her, it's still the same reaction. Have you, remember, was it, what the hell, she had red hair, Rock Girl Maggie. She's still on like on the front page of KSW.com from time to time because they still haven't cycled in all the new pictures. She's last year's crop. She's got that super bleached red hair.
Smoking hot.
Right. Whenever I see a picture of her, I get mad. Not like I'm emotionally mad. I'm just mad. Like, it's like, you are so freaking hot. It makes me angry.
Yeah. Like, trust me, dude. That's where I was last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I was telling Steve during the break, these chicks were so hot, right? So, right, the black-haired girl and like the fake workout outfit, and then her friend is like the blonde girl.
I love that it's a fake workout outfit.
There's no way she was actually working out.
Right.
Like, she's wearing that because she knows it looks
right.
Hot.
She's got like high heels on.
That's what I'm saying. Like, right. It was like two goddamn porn stars, man. Because it looks like if it was like, hey, you know, stud takes down athletic working out girl. Like, that's how she would be dressed in the porn. That's what I'm saying. And then her friend was the blonde girl with, like, jeans.
Not that Ted's ever seen that thumbnail.
During World Cup, soccer player. She's, like, the blonde with the ridiculous chest.
Yeah.
That's, like, those shirts, what are they called? Like,
tube tops?
No, like the body suits or whatever that like clip underneath. So it's almost like a one-piece bathing suit.
Yeah.
And then like, right, if her jeans had slit down a little bit, you could have seen like her, like that, the sexy like hip bone.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's hot, there's uncomfortably hot, and then this is like porn star. Like right. I was like, are they dancing at a club? Like, what is going, and they're speaking Russian. And I'm getting angry right now,
see,
Steve.
I think they make you angry hot. That's like, that to me is like, that's Mecca. If you're a girl and you're making dudes, and you know, I hope you understand what we mean when we say that. Like, it's not like we're going to yell at a girl who's hot. Damn you for being so hot. But like, you just, it's like, you don't even know how to react other than like, there's anger because it's uncontrollably hot. That's the ultimate compliment for a chick. If like we could go to you and say, hey, girls at the QFC or at Whole Foods, those girls don't go to QFC. Clearly just Whole Foods type of girls. I can't believe
that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that I saw them with anything in their carts.
You think they just said, hey, let's just go to Whole Foods and walk around and make guys angry because we're so hot?
No, they're like girls that hot, I assume, do like ridiculous hot girl things. Like they were in there to buy cheese, chocolate cake, and wine.
Right.
You know what I mean? Then they'll go home and be
what,
like,
are they going to have like some kind of fondue thing going on?
No, they're
going
to eat like a little bit of the cheese. Like they'll drink all the wine. Don't worry about that. And then they'll like share a piece of cake and be like, we're so decadent. And then they'll probably start doing cocaine and going to their stripper parties.
And taking a lot of selfies.
Yes. Oh, God. I can imagine those two in a bathroom for hours taking selfies.
Just snorting coke, taking pictures. I hear that happens at PrezCon, too.
PrezCon. As if it was a real thing. I was going to say, going to meet the president, one of the few things where I was like, you know what? I'm not going to bring a joint with me today.
Look at you, all grown up.
Yeah, being responsible.
Hey, we did get a tweet at the MegaCast.
All right.
And it says, I'm listening to this week's MegaCast. It's from Rachel or Rochelle. I think it's Rochelle. Yeah. And it said, one thing you guys sped over tripped me up. Your friend with a wife and a girlfriend, they're okay with this? So last week we mentioned.
Oh, that's your friend.
Right. My buddy, you need to meet him. You'll love the guy. He's so awesome. My buddy Chris, who I play hockey with in these hockey tournaments, he's from Phoenix. I met him last year, and we keep in touch. And I've become friends also with his wife and his girlfriend. And yes, my friend Chris, he's got a wife.
Polyamorous.
Yes. And he has a girlfriend. And it is, look, all of us reacted the same way. Like, what the F? How do you do this? Blah, blah, blah. I grabbed the clip because we interviewed him on The Donkey Show, which is a podcast I do with J-Mac and Munson. Whenever we have a chance and we're drinking, we roll tape and we put it out.
All right.
And the last episode, which is available, if you just go to Yo Donkey Show on Twitter, you can get all the links and all that crap. But here's Chris explaining the relationship. Now, most of the podcast is completely filthy. We couldn't run it. It's like, if you're a girl, just go into it knowing that this is guy talk.
It's locker room talk.
Yeah, I mean, it gets very graphic. It gets very visual. But throughout all of that, there was a part where I thought, wow, that actually is a very interesting point that he brought up. And I think it's important to hear because it's like, you know, obviously our first instinct is, that's weird. That guy, something's wrong with these three. But then you hear, yeah. I met them. They're all super cool. They're super loving with each other. And when you hear them talk about it.
Oh,
I bet they are too. I didn't get to witness that. But I was like, okay, you know what? It's not my cup of tea. It's not my world. I don't think I could handle that. But who am I to be judgmental on somebody who's happy? And all three of them are genuinely happy with each other. They each...
You like your relationships like your basketball. Yep. One-on-one and with as little dribbling as possible.
That's right. And I always win at horse. I don't know what that means, but...
Here's, you live in Puyallup.
Here's Chris explaining the relationship of his wife, and here's the important part. Not his girlfriend, their girlfriend, which I think
nice.
Is... Which that was like, when he said that, I was like, oh, all right, now it's making even more sense.
It's not a wife, me, girlfriend, wife. It's all of us together. And if you look at it that way, if you look at it the way you're talking about it, where I have a relationship with my wife and I have a relationship with my girlfriend,
right.
And it's something separate.
Then it's battling against each other.
Right. And that's kind of like the TV show where they don't sleep together.
Right.
But see, in this case, everybody's together. It's one relationship. So it's harder for me because I have two people to please. I don't think they have to look at it that way. You know, even though they do have to take care of each other, both, you know, physically and emotionally and everything. It's hard, but that's why this works too, is because they do so well together. I honestly believe if something were to happen to me, they would still be together 10 years from now.
You know, he brings up a strong point there too. Like, you always want to be in a threesome, but like, right, a normal Friday night, or like, he wakes up in the morning just for like a little morning quickie, like,
right.
Does he have to have sex with both of them, or
if they both want it? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that guy's not more tired.
And when he brought that up, I was thinking about that too. Like, you know, he even said, like, you know, for holidays or birthdays, you know, he's always trying to make sure he's giving both of them equal amount of attention, equal amount of gifts. I mean, it's almost like a parent, you know, trying to make sure that one kid doesn't think he's loved more than the other kid.
And then what happens if, like, he is tired of the girlfriend and doesn't like it? Like, do they have to discuss whether or not they could break up with the girlfriend?
That's a good question. I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they all live together. They have a kid. The kid is the girlfriend's kid.
And, no kidding.
Yeah, and man, it's like everything he says makes you want to scratch your head and be like, what in the hell? But then when you listen to him talk about it, and he says it in such a confident way, you're like, who the hell am I to say that what you're doing is crazy? You're happy? Yeah. She's happy? She's happy too? You guys are doing all right with each other? Go have at it.
Yeah. But Well, I think too, you know, I don't know. The more I get on in life, that's more of my philosophy on a lot of stuff. Like, well, look, at the end of the day, they're not hurting anybody else.
Right.
They're all happy. Like, let them have fun.
Exactly. Why? Who are we to all of a sudden be the fun police for everybody and their decisions that they make in their life?
Yeah.
And if anyone had a chance to meet him and his ladies, and you walk away from that still being like disapproving, then you're completely closed-minded. Because once you meet them, they're cool as all hell. When I first met the ladies, I was like, oh, how's this going to be? Or is it going to be weird? And man, they were so much fun. They were just hanging out. They're both, and he's right. You could see like they're the two of them, the two ladies are super tight, like close together. You know, friends-wise, tight as friends.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the tweet that I want to bring
up. All right. I should say the Whole Food Girls, they were also so hot, I was just like, oh, man, I need one of those. But, like, in reality, I'm never going to date a woman like that.
Clearly, they're available on aisle 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Where you get those.
I would never be jealous either.
No, never.
Where are you going? With who? No.
Dressed like that?
No, right? You don't go to Whole Foods. I saw you at Whole Foods.
I know what kind of reaction you give to men when you're in Whole Foods dressed like that.
Walking through the salsa section right when I had my hand on the hot.
You can only get mild salsa if I'm not around you.
Right.
And no kombucha.
Right. Maybe medium. Maybe.
Depends. This is a tweet from @TheTedSmith.
Nice.
Came in at 12 in the afternoon yesterday.
Mm.
Says social media is full of info. Hell, I just found out an ex of mine has a kid now. Turns out maybe we did have different ideas of the future.
Yeah.
I would love for you to elaborate on this one, if you can.
The last girl I dated, I try not to really do too much of the Facebook kind of checking in on exes.
Sure. What fun is that?
Right. So with her, it had been a while since I bothered to click on, and we're not friends anymore, right?
Okay.
So I only see certain amounts of what she posts.
Is it the girl
No.
Sorry, I had to turn the microphones off. I didn't want to like put out the person's name.
No. Right. That we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Right. So, I mean, we dated. I think we broke up like, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it was not a super long relationship.
It was long for me, Steve. It was like 9 months.
Okay. Yeah. Long enough to impregnate somebody.
Right.
Ted.
I just hadn't. That's not my thing. I hadn't checked in a while. So then I saw one of her friends that is still a mutual friend post something. And yesterday I was just like, you know what? I'm going to do a little Facebook creep and see what's going on.
We all do it.
Yeah.
We've all been guilty of it as much as we don't want to.
Right. So then it's like, all right, like she's dating somebody else. Good. This and that. And then I saw a pic and I was like, man, like, and then I clicked on like the comments and it's like, oh, you're going to be a great mom and this and that. And I was like, wow, that's her little kid and that baby Bjorn. That's what you call those things, right?
Baby Bjorn?
Baby Bjorn.
The little from IKEA?
No, like the like sweatshirt thing you put him in.
Oh, like that little sack?
Yeah.
I don't even know what the hell they're called.
I'm you're pretty asking, sure they're character.
You're asking the guy who has no kids what they're called?
Honestly, I figured your dog has one.
The way Lulu would let us keep her in one of those.
So that's just what struck me.
Oh, I bet.
Like, and it's weird, too, because then, like, other people were like, dude, my girl started dating somebody, like, or broke up. And I was like, no. Like, I'm not angry at her or, like, anything about it. I was just saying, like, it's crazy. That's how social media works. Like, I think, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I probably wouldn't know.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't interact with her friends that much. So
I think about the exes from, my college days. I have no idea what they're doing right now. I don't even remember their last names. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know how to find them. And probably at this point, they're married, so they have a different last name, so finding them wouldn't be all that easy. But yeah, you're right. I mean, sometimes you just want to throw out a piece of information. It's not like you're trying to, like, commiserate with people about the fact that she now has a kid. It's funny how some people react to things, because I'm sure some people are like, well, Ted, you'll make a good dad one day.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know.
And that was kind of my point, too. It was just like, well, you want to go have a kid, it's probably, like, I was just trying to make a lighthearted joke, like, probably a good thing we broke up then.
Right.
Like, because she broke up with me. Like, well, obviously, she probably made the right call if she wanted to go down that path.
Right, because that wasn't in your plans.
No.
You weren't looking to impregnate her or anything like that.
No. So that was the tweet. And honestly, like,
how do you and I just have a kid? Why don't we just adopt a child?
I'd have a kid with you, dude.
Yeah, me too. I think our kid would be awesome together.
Yeah.
What would we name him? I'm leaning towards Bjorn.
Bjorn?
Is our child Bjorn?
I mean, look, is his last name Migliori or Smith?
Oh, or is it? Do we combine them? Or do we just have his last name be Megacast?
Yeah. Bo Megacast.
Bo Megacast.
So that was just one of those strange things. That's why I was just like, yeah, social media coming through.
Dude, I mean, it's funny. Like, I remember when I found out an ex, not my... Well, I guess, my last ex before getting, you know.
Oh, yeah.
She has a kid. And I found
that
out. Yeah. I actually found that out from one of our coworkers.
Huh.
And they're like, did you know, blah, 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 has a kid now? Well, at the time, she saw her when she was pregnant, I guess. And I'm like, no, how would I know this? Like, I don't know this. But yeah. And it was just like, it wasn't like, there was no emotion. There was like, no, I'm not. I mean, I'm fine. If she's happy, I'm happy for her. Like, it's not like I'm like, damn it, why does she have a child? I hope that child is going to be mean to her. No, it's just, that's like, it's just, whoa, that's different. I didn't expect that. You know what I mean? Like, you just kind of, it's tough to wrap your head around because you're like, well, I was with that person not very long ago and now they have a child. Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And you're right. It's weird how people look into it, right?
Right. Like, I have no anger about it. Like, why would I be angry about it? I'm very happy with where my life is. And I only hope that the person that I'm no longer with is also happy. I don't find any comfort in knowing if someone's going to be miserable for the rest of their life.
No. Honestly, I wish, Like, I have, like, three, like, main exes, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that one obviously is going to be married or something. She's fine. She has a kid.
Yeah.
Like, I have another ex that I wish kind of would meet somebody and get married just because I always really liked her and think she's a good person, you know, and, like, that'd be good.
Okay, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Right. And then I have another one that I wish would just get married already just so I just don't have to deal with it. And it wouldn't be awkward.
I know exactly.
Like, I have
who
no issue
with
that person, but, like, right. Last time I saw him, it was like, this shouldn't be awkward.
Right.
So it's like, God damn.
Like, why are we acting weird?
Yeah.
It should just be a quick hi-bye.
Yes. Right. And then as the years go, and then, like, I don't know. Sometimes I look at other, this is so bad, but, like, sometimes I look at other single people and I go, well, I'm different than them. And then it's like, well, now I'm 35 and single. People probably have those same thoughts about me. So it's like, I'd rather just be the only single person in that group.
Yeah, I just thought the tweet was awesome. Like, I was reading that. I'm like, yeah, I know exactly how you feel about
that.
Yeah,
thanks,
man.
When
you find out about it, it's just like a weird emotion. Nothing negative, nothing positive. It's just like, whoa, was not expecting that information.
Right, because, right, the relationship I had with that person was drinking Miller Lights and Fireball, you know what I mean? Or doing stupid S. Like, we had never talked about anything that serious. So that, right, I was just like, huh.
Well, that might, right. the child might be a product of drinking too many Fireballs and doing stupid S. Well, and forgetting to put a condom on.
Well, it could be that, too.
It happens. Happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
Fortunately, not you or I.
That's random. You were like, I got a tweet for you. Then you said noon. I was like, noon? What did I tweet out at noon?
Dude, the weirdest one I remember one time, this girl told me, and it wasn't even like it was like a booty call kind of a girl, right?
All right.
And I lost track with her and then reconnected like about a year after. And I was like, oh, how you been? Oh, she's like, well, things are getting a little bit better ever since the abortion. And I'm like, oh. So now I'm talking, and I'm like, well, that was not really information I thought you were going to just throw out there. Like, that's a very awkward conversation to now have, because I don't know what to ask. And now my, you know, the gears are spinning in my head, and I'm like, I like, it's been a year. Like, you know, I'm starting to think, was it
you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, now I'm, like, kind of, like, finally she gets to the point, like, because I'm, like, having this, like, awkward, like, I don't know what to say. I don't know how many questions should I ask. I don't know how to just come out and be like, so this kid that you are going to have, oh, actually, it wasn't an abortion. It was an adoption. She gave up the kid for adoption. Sorry.
All right.
Too many substances have been in my brain, and I sometimes lose track of things. And I felt like a weird pit in my stomach. Like, geez, is that my, like, you know what I mean? Like, is that my kid?
All right.
And finally, like, as I'm like talking to her awkwardly, she finally goes, it's not your child. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I'm glad to hear things are better. Good talk. Gotta go. Dodge that bullet.
Yeah.
That was the weirdest feeling I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah.
Like, because it was like that weird moment of, did I knock this girl up and she never told me? And now this is how I'm finding out? Thankfully, no.
Yeah, that would be super awkward.
Right.
Oh, man.
Could you imagine?
No.
I'm sure that's happened to people.
No, of course it has. But there's very few things generally I say yes to that question, but I'm like, no, I can't.
I can't put my head around it. Yeah. It's such a weird feeling.
I've had one girlfriend once be like, we got to have a talk. And I spent like maybe 6 hours freaking out thinking that was going to be the talk.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I had one when I first met out here. I had a girl I dated for a little bit, and she was crazy. I mean, so crazy. Like, this is how the relationship ended. I was living in Wallingford. I lived in this house, like, with a bunch of hippie type people, like, you know, just all, not as a negative, but they're all like just very like earthy vegetarians. Yeah. And one guy was living in
kombucha.
The garage. Yeah. Probably growing their own kombucha. One guy was living in the garage, not talking to any of us, 'cause he was practicing to become a monk.
Dope.
Yeah. That guy was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, when I finally got to have some conversations with him, he was the coolest guy. I'm like, man, I didn't know you were this cool. He's like, well, I just wanted to see if I could do
the monk stuff.
Do the monk stuff. I'm like, okay. And I remember I was dating this girl. So the house was just like this house in Wallingford right on Ashworth. And no one had keys to the house. So, like, you just come and go. It was just a very safe area.
Yeah.
So I'm asleep. I wake up in the middle of the night and I feel a presence in the room. And I'm like, the hell? Like, so my eyes are starting to kind of adjust to like the darkness, but I could see a shadow of a person sitting in a chair across from my bed. And I'm like, what the hell? I turn on the light and it's that girl.
And she's like, just sitting there?
Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I just got off of work from, was it Kachina? Remember that place?
No.
Oh, it was like it was actually where like a lot of the Joey's wound up buying out those the building that Kachina. It was like an Italian restaurant.
All right.
And I'm like, all right. She's like, well, I didn't know what else to do. I think I'm pregnant. And I'm like, what? I'm like, all right, well, let's go to the QFC and let's go get you a pregnancy test. She's like, well, I'm like, no, let's go. You can't just come in here and do this.
Yeah.
Right? So we go there. We pull up. We park outside the QFC, that one with the big Wallingford, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pull up, about to turn the car off, and she goes, and she looks at me and goes, I lied. I'm like, about what? She's like, I'm not pregnant. I'm like, what? She's like, I just wanted to have a conversation with you, and I felt like you were going to break up with me, and I thought that that would help. I'm like, well, you were right about one part. I do want to break up with you. So
Jesus Christ,
I'm going to go. We're going to go back to my house. You're going to get in your car, and we're never going to see each other again. She was crazy.
Was she hot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we should probably get out of here.
Let's do some push-ups.
Let's do some push-ups. What better song to do push-ups to than the metal version of All I Do Is Win? All I Do Is Win. This is way too aggressive.
I'm picturing us now also somehow like a when the Disciples of Fun come out, we like shake one hand, we shake the other, and then it like an explosion.
Explosion when the hands go up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, and then that weird like sparkle flames, like you know what I mean? Like the
glitter?
The way, like, I don't know what the hell is it called when like you get like the sparks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just coming down on us.
Yeah.
Like, all right, we should probably get 10 before the song ends.
Yeah.
Here we go. Live on a foolish track. Here we go. Foolish track. It's now. There's a first booty show. There's a selfie sign. So I like it. There's a trick. Let's have it with a gun.
So we're shaking yeah. Right here. Oh. Hey, follow us on Twitter at the Megacast.
Yeah.
Ted, see you next week.
Yeah, you know where next week works for me.
Awesome.
Cool, man.